تكسر صوته وجناحاته قلت
You are listening to POCC Black Report Radio with the Minister of Information, JR, on Flashpoints. Today we will be talking to Cynthia McKinney, the Green Party's presidential candidate, as well as former congresswoman, about her experience campaigning across the country. We will talk to her also about the similarities and differences between McCain, herself, and Obama, as well as her sentiments on the bailout and the election of Barack Obama as president of the United States. I started off by asking her to describe her experience campaigning all across the country.
It has been really, for me, a very interesting journey. I didn't know what to expect. I was open to every possible experience, and that's a good thing because I was able to travel to 28 states. And the interesting thing is that we found that there is a small and highly informed and extremely committed community of people out there who understand what the limitations of the two-party system are. And for us then, it was very important to make a connection with them. And so now that the election is over, we can look at the results and we can see that there's approximately 150,000 people across this country who heard our message and who believe in our message. We are now able to organize better and to mobilize and to strategize because these are our most serious and committed people.
I know that you had a number of things on your platform, but what did the people gravitate towards most? Barack Obama or McCain didn't address many of the issues that you addressed.
You know, we really enjoyed support from a cross-section of the community. So therefore, when we put out our platform, we had, for example, reparations, an end to the drug war, an end to the prison industrial complex, release of political prisoners, eliminating the private Federal Reserve and nationalizing the Federal Reserve. After the bailout became an issue, we went further into what it would take in order for the Democratic Congress to transform our banking industry and the U.S. economy with an emphasis toward full employment, jobs that would green our economy, war it no longer is an acceptable energy policy, revamping the banking industry, nationalizing it, in fact, so that the people's ownership is translated into a change in what credit means and how credit is used. Credit should be used to help small business owners and individuals, and not something that is extended to just a few certain people and then ignored when those few certain people who seem to always get the political and then the economic advantage betray the public purse and the public's values. We also talked about eliminating U.S. imperialism. Of course, that meant ending all wars and occupations and then bringing all of our troops home from the more than 100 countries around the world in which they are stationed at U.S. bases. Now, it's interesting that when we talked about, for example, placing former Comptroller General David Walker in charge of auditing every dollar of the bailout that went to J.P. Morgan, Bear Stearns, AIG, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, we were completely ignored. But guess what?
What?
Now the Fed has refused to give an accounting for its expenditures that are backed by us, the public. And so if my advice had been heeded at that time and the Democrats in the Congress had put in place accountability, openness, transparency, we wouldn't have the situation now with the Fed refusing to disclose who got $2 trillion. I mean, this is absolutely outrageous. It's so across the top that it is unthinkable, but yet it's happening today. We put forward a forward agenda on energy, on social justice, on the environment, on employment, on health care, on education, an affirmative agenda that basically was ignored by the status quo powers that be, media and the special interest political parties. But we now know that there are people who did hear the message.
No doubt. How do you feel about the bailout?
Well, of course, now we understand that the members of Congress who came before the public and said, we've got to take care of Main Street. This is not just for Wall Street. They lied. Because the money, with no strings attached, no alternative was ever considered. Nancy Pelosi could have drawn up something that had the provisions in it that I described, like the standardized accounting procedures, the national moratorium on foreclosures, the elimination of derivatives trading could have been included in the legislation, but they weren't. And so now, as a result, we've seen banks acquire other banks, throwing huge parties for their executives with our money. And it's a travesty. But this is what the Democratic-controlled Congress wanted, and this is what they got.
I know that you faced criticism across the country because some people may have felt that you were splitting the vote from either women with the first women candidates as well as with the first black candidate, Barack Obama, running. How did you respond to that?
Well, basically, what I reminded folks of is that ultimately the voters have the choice. And they can vote for special interest political parties or they can do as I did. I declared my independence from the national leadership that made our country complicit in war crimes, torture, crimes against humanity, and crimes against the peace. That same national leadership that had failed to provide a living wage for our workers, that had failed to provide a single-payer health care system, a Medicare for all type of system for all of us who live within the boundaries of this country, that had chosen to spend $720 million every day for war instead of subsidizing education so that no young people who want a college education should graduate from college tens of thousands of dollars in debt. These are the choices that were available to all of the voters. And I was under no circumstance going to compromise my values. I value peace and social justice, and I knew that we weren't going to get that as a working agenda from the Democratic Party or the Republican Party because they basically said that. And so when the time came to protect civil liberties with the bill, the vote on the telecom immunity, both the Democratic nominee and the Republican nominee voted to erode our civil liberties. I would never have done that. And when the time came to vote for the bailout, both of them again voted for the bailout. They support war and occupation by either in Iraq or even both of them support a surge in Afghanistan. So that's more war, more occupation. So those are not my values, and I would never have voted for them. And now the record reflects that there are about 150,000 people who heard our message and that they also were determined that they were not going to vote for somebody else's values. They were going to vote for their own values.
No doubt. Can you break down what are the differences between the Democratic candidate, Barack Obama, who won, and Senator McCain, who happened to lose? What are the nuances? Because I know that they're very little, but can you lay it out? Like, what are the nuances and also put them in comparison to what your agenda was pushing?
Well, basically, they both agreed on the fact that we were not going to have a single-payer health care system, we were not going to have a livable wage, we were not going to repeal the Patriot Act, the Secret Evidence Act, or the Military Commissions Act. We were not going to see an end to U.S. wars of imperialism. There was going to be a residual force in Iraq under a Barack Obama administration, and there would be a larger residual force in Iraq under a McCain administration, but there would be a residual force of our troops there nonetheless. And they both agreed in the surge in Afghanistan. So basically what we had were differences around the margins, not substantial differences that I believe the people of this country were voting for. And now that we have an electorate that is engaged and is interested in the rest of the story, I believe that we also have an enhanced, increased, attentive community that is ready to hear our values and our policy prescriptions, because at the end of the day, I believe what voters will understand is that the election really wasn't about a horse race or a fashion show or a beauty contest or a popularity contest. It's about whose values are going to get allocated in the national government. And for that, I think people will find increasingly that it's not their values that are being allocated.
Did you know Barack Obama while you were a member of Congress?
I did have the opportunity to be sworn in at the same time in January 2005 when Barack Obama was sworn into the United States Senate. And, of course, while I was protesting the Ohio electors because of the voter fraud, the election fraud that took place in the state of Ohio, Barack Obama sat quietly. While I was engaged with Condoleezza Rice as she was being considered for Secretary of State and would have loved to have had the opportunity in the House International Relations Committee to drill her on a variety of issues, including what happened to the national security brief that was on her desk pertaining to September 11th, when Senator Obama had the opportunity to do that same level of questioning, it just didn't happen. There were a series of softball questions that were asked that basically gave Condoleezza Rice the opportunity to do what she has done now on the international stage without any kind of pre-reckoning as to what those policies that she was going to put forward might have been and the impact that these policies were going to have, not only on those of us inside this country, but for the global community as well.
How did you feel when Barack Obama was selected to be president of the United States?
Well, of course, I think everyone was elated with respect to a barrier that had been broken. And I remember, you know, seeing the black and white footage of when Jackie Robinson broke a barrier in baseball. And then, of course, for a very long time, there was no such thing as a black quarterback in football. And now we have black quarterbacks all over the NFL. And, you know, breaking barriers is important. And a barrier has been broken now, because the racially polarized block voting, we have to do some analysis, particularly with respect to the Voting Rights Act states, and we need to analyze the extent to which racially polarized block voting was broken down. And at the same time, we need to understand that the tremendous media success that candidate Obama had, and of course the fundraising success, does not translate to average, ordinary, underfunded candidates who are voices of the community. And so therefore certain parameters of the Voting Rights Act should not be adjusted to the detriment of those voting blocks that have traditionally been discriminated against and disfranchised.
How do you feel the election, say, went? Were there any errors? Were there any scandalous actions? Can you tell the people, because I know that you keep your eye very closely on that, as you did in 2004 and in previous elections, but can you speak to what went on this election?
Well, of course, there were massive electronic voting machine failures, but in addition to that, there's a problem in Iowa right now. But I think that under the circumstances, people are satisfied with the result, and so therefore there won't be any outcry as a result of the overwhelming turnout that we all experienced on November 4th.
You were just listening to the voice of Cynthia McKinney, the Green Party's presidential candidate, as she talked about her experience campaigning all across the country, her analysis of the bailout, as well as her analysis of what the two-party candidates were about, and her sentiments on the selection of Barack Obama as president of the United States. This concludes part one of the interview. Part two will be played tomorrow. This is the Minister of Information, J.R., for www.blockreportradio.com. We out.
And now we go to journalist and death row political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal for this commentary.
A day of days. I've expected an Obama win, and only the prospect of grand theft could have changed that expectation. That's because I'd read of the polls, listened to pollsters, and studied the political map. Plus, the coolness of Senator Barack Obama's campaign was in sharp contrast to the frenzied style and open infighting among supporters of Arizona Senator John McCain. There was also the nasty, derisive tone of many who supported McCain, as perhaps best encapsulated by the Republican convention, where a slew of presenters mocked Obama's past experience as a community organizer. It elicited guffaws and gales of laughter. Now we see that such skills, aided of course by the reach and ubiquity of the Internet, were perhaps more valuable than a law degree. I'd expected it, but no one could have predicted the enormous outpouring of emotion, both across the country and around the world. Within moments of the election results announcement, streets filled with people in Harlem, in Chicago, in Kenya, in Washington, D.C., in San Francisco, and beyond. Celebrations erupted in Europe and Asia, in Japan and Australia, and almost all the celebrants were young people. In nearby Pittsburgh, college students and other young people just took to the streets, a spontaneous demonstration of joy. Unlike any election in generations, this race drew out enormous numbers of first-time voters and young folks between 18 and 30. Indeed, Obama carried all age groups up to those over 65. This was, in sheer historic terms, an impressive political event. Now, the hard work begins. For of all the challenges facing the president-elect, the economy, upon which all else depends, is the most daunting. If the recent big bailout is any measure, there's far more bad financial news to come. Businesses and banks will fiend for more public monies, just as a dope fiend craves crack. In a sense, capital entered its vote the day after Election Day, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average falling some 500 points. The challenges facing the president-elect may ultimately prove insurmountable, yet they are his. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
We used to have our liberties way back in the day. It was for our own good that they took them away. Now it's Homeland Security following you around.